Let me read to us from Luke chapter 5. And we're just going to do the last couple of verses of Luke chapter 4 as well, printed there on the sheets. But Jesus said to the crowd, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Well, a previous pastor of mine helped me understand this passage, and he said the structure of this passage goes like this. Jesus fishes for people, Simon fishes for fish, Jesus fishes for fish, Jesus fishes for Simon fishes for people. Did you get that? I'll say it one more time. Jesus fishes for people from a boat at the edge of the lake. Simon fishes for fish, doesn't catch anything. Jesus fishes for fish, miracle. Jesus fishes for Simon, and then Simon is to fish for people. So Luke loves this kind of subtle imagery, okay? He loves to say, see this little picture? There's a bigger reality behind it. This story is about fishing. We don't make much of being a church on a boat normally, but this is a passage about fishing for people from a boat. The issue is fishing. Last week Jesus told us the means of fishing, the bait if you like. So 4 verse 43, he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And here he is doing just that, fishing for people by the word. But, if you like, there's a problem. How is one man going to get the word to the whole world? And the answer in this passage is people. He's going to use disciples to do that. He chooses, rather than perform a miracle to that whole crowd listening to him, he could have levitated and spoken louder so that everyone could hear him. Instead, he chooses to use Simon's boat. He chooses to get in the boat and use that as the means to reach people. But then by the end of the passage, he's saying in verse 10, Simon, from now on, you're going to be catching people. Ultimately, that's for us if we're Christians here. We're called to fish for people too. Now, I don't know what your reaction is here today to the idea that we're called to fish for people. And maybe you think, a bit like I think about normal fishing. You just think it's flat out weird. Sorry if you're an angler here. There are more than 1 million fish licenses bought in the UK every year. So there are a lot of you out there if that's one of you today. But I just don't see the point. It just seems weird. You know, you put a worm on a hook or you fashion some string so it looks like a fly. Is that right? And then you wait and you wait and you wait. And then when you catch a fish, sometimes you've got to put them back in the water as well. I really don't understand that. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, you know, proselytization in the 21st century in Canary Wharf, what are you talking about? We'll see later as we go. We need to understand what this passage is saying and understand the imagery. But maybe you're a Christian and the idea of fishing for people. That's something you're familiar with, the idea of trying to share your faith with others. But you're in one of three phases, and those three phases match pretty closely to my three phases on the one time I went fishing myself. My friends had persuaded me it was going to be a great idea, and to start off with, I was really enthusiastic. We were out on a sunny day in a boat, and there were some drinks in an ice bucket at the end of the boat, and I was very excited, and I was very enthusiastic. That was phase one. I was bobbing away at the edge of the boat, just going, come on, this is going to be great. I quickly entered phase two, which was the just going through the motions phase of fishing. My friend on the other side of the boat, I kid you not, he caught three fish in the first 20 minutes, and they were all at least this, no, they were about this big. They were big fish. But me, I just caught one poisonous little fish the whole morning. I was just going through the motions. I was just, yeah, whatever. And then I quickly entered phase three, my third phase of fishing, which was sunbathing, having a drink phase. I gave up on fishing and I just concentrated on having a nice time. Do you see how that might map onto our experience of fishing for people if we're Christians here today? When I first became a Christian, I was in the enthusiastic phase very strongly. I pretty much frog marched my friend down to Starbucks, and I sat him down and I tried to, as best I could, to explain the Christian message and to try and persuade him and answer his questions. Have you had that phase? Are you in that phase? Have you ever been in the just going through the motions phase of fishing? You know it's something you ought to do, but you just feel a bit tired. I've been fishing all night, I've caught nothing. I'm just going to mend the nets. That friend who I first shared the gospel with when I became a Christian, I prayed and prayed and prayed for him, and I spoke and spoke and spoke, and we chatted late into the night. We had drink after drink, and eventually he chose to become a Christian. And I was really excited. And he came to church, came to everything for 6 months, and then he chucked it all in. He got back out of the boat and gave up. And I thought, God, what's the plan here? Just leaves me just going through the motions sometimes, thinking, how do you want to use me, God? Going through the motions. Or maybe you've hit the line back sunbathing, having a drink phase. You'd much rather think of Christianity not as being crew on a fishing trawler. You'd much rather think of it as being a kind of passenger on a cruise ship, if you like. Well, wherever we are, whatever our reaction is to fishing and fishing for people, we need this passage. If you're sitting there and thinking, it's not just weird, this idea of fishing, it's also very arrogant, isn't it? Because the fisherman stands over the fish and looks down. Maybe you've come across Christians who just try and ram it down your throats, or they just try and roll out all their clever arguments. They don't actually listen sincerely to what you're saying. Well, we're going to see it's impossible to be an arrogant Christian and to have actually understood Christianity. We're going to see, in the language of this passage, you'll see there on the sheets, we're fish before we're fishers, and then Jesus calls us the fish, okay? Stick with me, it'll make sense hopefully. We're fish before we're fishers, and then Jesus calls us to fish. So Jesus fishes for Simon, that's what we're saying, isn't it? Do you remember that structure? Jesus fishes for people, Simon fishes for fish. Jesus fishes for fish, Jesus fishes for Simon, before Simon fishes for people. Jesus fishes for Simon by helping him see he's not the superb fisherman he thinks. He is just a normal, average, sinful fish. Okay, so let's just get into the story. Verse 4, Jesus says to Simon, let down your nets. Simon says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But he knew enough to say, but at your word, I will let down the nets. At the moment they do, there's this massive catch. Can you imagine it? Just you're swimming in fish. You're surrounded by them. You, made to stink by them, you're calling out for help from your colleagues to come and get all these fish in. How would you respond if that was you? Would you say, well, hey, Jesus, I'm in the money. This is exciting. Just think how my business is going to grow from now on. Can we do this same time again tomorrow? I'm going to get all my fishing boat friends to come and we can get going with this. No, what is Simon's reaction to Jesus? As he catches a glimpse of Jesus, he catches a glimpse of himself. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. The show The Secret Millionaire turns on the idea that bosses go undercover with their employees and they serve on the factory line for a week or two, and then there's this moment where everyone gets to see who they really are. Well, this is the moment that Simon gets a glimpse who Jesus really is. He doesn't just call him master anymore, as he does in verse 4. Instead, in verse 8, he calls him Lord. He gets that he has God in the boat with him. Sometimes in The Secret Millionaire, you get moments where the employees are heard while the boss is incognito to be slagging off the management. Or they fail to treat the boss as boss. They just treat him as another employee and treat him pretty badly. Well, Simon, when he meets the boss, is not just embarrassed, he is floored by it. All he catches is a glimpse of Jesus. He doesn't see one of Jesus' more impressive miracles here. He doesn't see what we'll one day see, the idea of, the Bible says, of Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven in his Father's glory and majesty. But what he glimpses is enough to persuade him that this is the one he should have given every single breath in his body to. And all he can see is his failure to do that. You get the same in Isaiah 6. Isaiah gets this taken up into heaven and he catches a vision of the Lord. And you can see, you know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. The cherubim are singing around him. And what's Isaiah's reaction? Woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord. I'm in trouble. Have we glimpsed Jesus here today this way? Have we glimpsed ourselves this way? And yet, have we glimpsed the acceptance on offer through Jesus? The reason we'd want to speak about him. As Jesus shows Simon who he is, Jesus doesn't reject him like he and we deserve now and in eternity. Instead, verse 10, what does he say? Do not be afraid, Simon. I'm calling you. I'm going to use you. Jesus goes fishing for dirty, smelly sinners like Simon and like us, and brings them to himself. Fishing doesn't normally end well for the fish, does it? But in Jesus' fishing trip, it does. The translations mask this a little bit, but normally through the passage, when the word for catch comes up, it's just the word catch. But in verse 10, when it says, from now on you will catch people, it's actually a slightly different word in the original. It's the word catch with the word life on the front. Okay? It's you're going to life catch. You're not catching them to their death, you're catching them to life. That is what Jesus accomplishes as he fishes, as he goes to his own death to bring us life, to gather in a great multitude. We're fish before we're fishers. Do you see the arrogant Christian is a contradiction in terms? We're not trying to show off clever arguments. Not trying to win the argument. We're trying to say, look, here's a glimpse of Jesus that I've seen, and here's the glimpse of myself that I've seen in the Bible. Will you want to glimpse that with me too? We're fish before we're fishers. And then Jesus calls us to fish. Jesus calls us to fish. From from now on, Simon, verse 10, you will be catching men, catching people. And we need to see, Jesus' call is for us. Jesus' call is for us. So while Luke knows the distinction, he knows that Simon is going to be one of the foundational witnesses on which the whole of Christianity is built. He knows the distinction, but he doesn't want to limit the application. So in Luke's second volume, in Acts chapter 4, Simon is flogged for being this foundational witness. But then he goes and he prays with all the Christians in Jerusalem. And they all gather and pray for strength. And it says, verse 31 of chapter 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and all continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is for all Christians. The Lions tour could really do with Billy Villapoda being there. Sadly, he is injured, and it's a great loss to the Lions. But even if Billy Villapoda had been there, the star player, if you like, the other 14 people couldn't have just sat down at the sidelines. They'd had to play their hardest and their best. It's a bit like that. We might have these superstar apostles, yet the whole team, they need to be involved. Jesus' call is to us. Jesus' call is a comfort. Maybe we feel discouraged by results. Maybe we've been faithfully plugging away in our offices for years, trying to point people to the Lord Jesus, and you just get discouragement after discouragement, people knocking us back, or people getting in the boat and then jumping right out again. Jesus' call is a comfort, I think. You see, Jesus is the ultimate fisherman. This is a picture of what Jesus will one day do. He will gather in a great multitude that no one can count from every tribe and tongue and nation and people. That is happening. That is reality. We might not get to see that in our own situation, in our lives, but we're getting in line with reality when we heed this call. Acts 17, when Paul's in Athens, he talks about the fact that God has determined the exact times and places that people live, and that he does it that people would seek him. Where you're working right now is not an accident. The people working alongside you, that is not an accident either. God is fully able to order events, to put around us people he's chosen to hear the gospel from us through. Don't be discouraged by results. Maybe we think, Lord, we've caught nothing all night. We need to say to Jesus, okay, Jesus, but because you say so, because you've told me this is reality, this will happen, I'll let down the nets again. I'll keep going. Maybe discouraged by results. Maybe discouraged by our sin. Maybe we think, oh, I've just stuffed up too many times. If I can't share the gospel with my colleagues, they'll just see the hypocrite I am. They see me at my worst. But this is the encouragement. Jesus uses failures. Simon, he qualifies to be a fisherman by realizing he's a fish, a sinner, a failure. There are no super Christians, actually. There's no Marvel comic book Avengers to assemble. There's not a superstar lineup. There's just ordinary sinners like me and you, turning and stumbling and failing and getting up again and glimpsing the acceptance that's been given to us, pressing on and sharing the gospel. Jesus' call is a comfort. Do not be afraid. Lastly, Jesus' call is a challenge. I don't know about you, as we read these words, I can almost feel it wrench me out of the lethargy into which I so quickly slide. We need to ask ourselves, have we heard the call? Jesus wants us to fish for people. Not just the once a week prayer we shoot up when we remember for an unbelieving relative, but a whole life that says, I'm ready, Jesus. How do you want to use me to reach out for others? what would we give up to obey this call? What do they give up? Verse 11, when they had brought their boats up on land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Doesn't have to mean walking away from your job, but at the least it means handing Jesus everything, all that you are, all your talents, all your time, all your money, and saying, how do you want to use this to fish for people? And being ready to go wherever that answer takes you. I've spent a bit of time looking at the Gospel Patrons website, if people come across this. So it's mostly interviews with people who have stayed in high-powered jobs, but have been radically generous financially and with their time in trying to get the gospel out. It's an American thing, and there's the book Gospel Patrons up on the bookstall that's well worth a look. But there's an interview on there with a Wall Street banker called Tony Chimarusti, and he said for him in Wall Street, in his personal situation, he realised actually money had such a vice-like grip in his life, he actually needed to move away from Wall Street for 18 months. And he went primarily for discipleship to California. But then he came back to Wall Street, and he was a changed man in how he approached his job. So God led him back to a finance job. But you can watch on the video his face filled with joy as he just says, look, you don't know what I saw. I saw people coming to trust Jesus. It was so exciting. He said at one point as the bell rang on the floor, he was seeing 60 or 70 Christians and non-Christians gathering in a Bible study that he was helping to run and in little outreach groups he was helping to run as people turned to Jesus, as he saw his work as his mission fields. That won't be all of our experiences. It might be most of our experiences. But it's worth asking, isn't it? When was the last time we took a proactive step towards trying to share our faith with other people, if we're Christians here today? Someone from our small group in the resident congregation here at the Barge was round for a social the other day, and she's definitely in the fishing with enthusiasm phase. She was baptised relatively recently, and it's exciting to see her working to share her faith. She invited a friend along to one of the Questions of Life events, and she's followed up with that ex-colleague who's now unemployed. She's kept in contact with her, and she just came up to me at the social and was like, Matt, I've heard reading the Bible with a non-Christian is a great thing to try and do, but I've just got not a clue what I'm supposed to be doing. Can you help me? She just proactively said, I want to go in the direction of sharing my faith. I just need to skill up. So I was able to point her to the UCCF resources on Uncover Luke, which are 6 seeker-friendly Bible studies, if you want that term, that helps a Christian and non-Christian just go through a passage together and watch Jesus walk off the pages of Scripture. So I commend one-to-one Bible reading to you. I commend to you her enthusiasm and her proactivity in seeking to share her faith. Last thing I commend to you about her in that situation is actually the idea of evangelistic accountability. So in our small group, we try and just hold each other accountable on the issue of evangelism, which is so quickly fall off the radar. So we just ask each other, you know, how's it going sharing your faith? And that, for me, is a great spur to remind me to actually be trying to share my faith. I'm meeting up with 2s and 3s of people around the wharf, and we're just praying for each other's friends and colleagues. We're trying to remotivate ourselves as we look at God's word. We're trying to chat strategies and what might work, and we're just seeing what God is going to do with that. I'm trying to do it in some of the different Christian groups as well, just helping the groups look at 3 sessions, why we should share our faith, how we can go about doing that. Let's pray together and work together. I can feel a very, very small thing, can't it? One person turning to another person and sharing about Christianity. But actually, it can be a very big thing. The church, the early church grew massively quickly because all the ordinary Christians were turning to all their ordinary friends, saying, I'm very ordinary. I don't know about you. I've glimpsed myself, but I've glimpsed Jesus. Do you want to find out more about him? in the wharf, maybe there are 2,000 Christians. We could just say to each other, look, 1 + 1 = 4,000. How can we reach out to the wharf with the gospel? Why not try and join one of these groups? Come and chat to me if you'd like to. Why not plan to invite people next week to this gospel music event? Why not make the most of every opportunity? Why not pray? Remember, we're fish before we're fishes, but respond to Jesus' call for us to fish. Let me pray for us, and then there'll be a chance for people to ask any question or pass any comment in the remaining minutes. Father, we need your help. We are quick to forget who Jesus is, his majesty. We're quick to forget who we are in our sin and our failure. And we're quick to forget the goodness of the gospel in the acceptance that you've won for us through the cross. Please, Father, be at work in us that we'd heed your call. Please, would we be people that are so overjoyed with Jesus and what he's given us and who he is that we long to share him with others. Please give us opportunities this week to speak of your son. I pray that you get the honour you deserve in this world. Amen.